السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ، السلام الله عليكم.
ياكم أبو عامر، هاو إيه؟
الحمد لله.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ما بعد، أبوك يسأل الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. We have always repeatedly said الأدب المفرد teaches us the lessons about our manners, our attitudes, our conduct with our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, our attitudes and manners regarding the creatures of Allah, regarding other human beings like us, regarding our parents, about our wives, about our children, about our relatives, about our neighbors, about our superiors, about those that we are above them, superior over them, our subordinates, and so on. Here in the last class, we were on the matters regarding our manners with Allah. One of the major ways to be mannerly with Allah is عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه. He told us, it was reported regarding him, that he begged Allah regarding everything he wants to do, such that even the animals that he would ride, he found a difference between when he begged Allah regarding them and when he did not. Nafir, his freed slave, Nafir Mola, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhuma, that occurs in Hadith 618, that inni la'ad'u fi kulli shay'in min amri, I would beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kulli shay'in min amri, regarding everything in my affairs. Regarding everything in my affairs, I put forward begging Allah, hatta ayufsiha Allahu fi mashidabati. I even beg Allah that Allah makes the movement of my riding animal to be easy, hatta ara min dhalika ma yasuruni, so that I would find from that animal and my supplication for the animal, Maya Suruni, something that will delight me, something that will make me happy. Ikhwa, wallahi, if you want to find joy, happiness, goodness, blessings, success in everything that you do, push forward dua regarding those matters. You would find a huge difference in the ease, in the blessings, in the goodness, in the usefulness and protection in what you are doing. Put dua first in everything that you do. But some of the people, on the other hand, They will think that they don't need Allah and that they are self-sufficient. For these kinds of people, we read the last chapter that man lam yas'alillaha yaghdab alayh. Those who reject, who refuse, who hold back from begging Allah, yaghdab alayhim, Allah becomes angry with them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that man lam yas'al Allah ghadiba Allahu alayhi. The one who does not make dua, the one who does not beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaghdab Allahu alayhi. Allah becomes angry with them. We beg Allah to protect us away from his anger. Never direct his anger towards us, and guide us not to ever do the deeds that will incur his anger against us. Yesterday we read two hadith 659 and hadith 660. In hadith 660, it was the report of Uthman ibn Affan that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man qala sabaha kulli yawmin wa masa'a kulli laylatin thalatha. Anyone who said or who says sabaha kulli yawmin, in the morning of every day, ikhwa, every morning, wa masa'a kulli laylatin, and the evening time preceding every night, if you say bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asrihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do this, lam yadurru shay'un, nothing will ever cause harm or hurt to you. Bismillah alladhi. I don't know what else we'll be looking for in terms of protection. So you don't need to tie anything on your neck. You don't need to tie anything on your upper arm. You don't need to tie anything on your waist. You don't need to tie anything on your legs, like a prisoner in chains, deceived to believe that what you tie is the means of protection for you. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he had told us that whoever tied something, man allaqa shay'an wukkila ilayh, whoever ties something becomes left alone with what you have tied. So if an afar gave you something to tie on your leg, to tie on your neck, to tie on your waist, to tie on your knees, to place under your bed, to put on your house, to put behind your door, to put behind your shop, you should know that you led yourself into the shackles of disgrace and exploitation. It's a shackle of disgrace because those things, Allah will abandon you to them, meaning that you become a slave of those things that you have tied. Don't you always see those who tie some things? They tie talismans, they tie things, they become slaves of those things they tie. They keep what you put in the hand, what is it called? Rings. They put chains on the neck. They become slaves of those rings. They become slaves of those chains because they think that the ring and the chain is that thing that will bring them protection. The ring that can get cut off, the chain that can get cut off, that can get lost. How about depending on Allah, the mighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your protection? So, ikhwa, we should ask Allah and depend on him, not on something else or somebody else. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qala sabaha kulli yawmin, whoever says in the morning of every day, and in the evening of every night. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'u al-'alim. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'u al-'alim. Three times in the morning, Allah will protect you. You have a guarantee from the Messenger of Allah. Lam yazurruhu shay'un. Nothing will cause you harm. The person who reported this hadith from Uthman was Aban, his son. When he reported that hadith, Abdullah ibn Zakwan, who collected it from him, was looking at him. Because Aban ibn Uthman, he had partial paralysis on a part of his body. So he was looking at him as if to say, are you sure you know well what you are saying? How come you have paralysis when you said this? Is that not from her? فَفَاطِنَ لَهُ. Aban ibn Uthman understood that. That look by Abdullah ibn Zakwan was an investigative and interrogative look onto him. So he said to him that, Inna al-haditha kama haddastuka. That hadith is just as I have narrated them to you. Walakinni lam akulhu dhalika al-yawma liyamdiya qadaru Allah. The day that I became as you have seen, I did not remember to say that you are liyakdiya amru Allah. So that Allah's preordainment can happen to me. So I didn't say that dua that had kept away that from me for years. For as long as Allah knows. Because dua keeps away trials, it keeps away problems, it keeps away diseases, it keeps away issues away from you, ikhwa. So alaykum ibadallah bidua. So I will say to us what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to us, alaykum ibadallah, O servant of Allah, alaykum bidua. Stick to dua, make dua, beg Allah, ask Allah. The chapter that follows that in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is Babu du'ai inda s-safi fi sabilillah. Babu du'ai inda s-safi fi sabilillah. The chapter of supplicating and the efficacy of begging Allah. Inda s-safi fi sabilillah. When the people of Islam, they are lined up against their enemies. The people of Islam, we Muslims, if there's a battle between the Muslims, the people of Iman, a valid, well-led, well-established jihad against kuffar, face-to-face, that moment, that period, when we are lined up, looking at them ahead, they are also getting ready to attack the people of Islam. We are ready to defend and also attack non-Muslims. In this kind of a circumstance, that is a period that Allah also answers dua, meaning that even before battles, we have battles, before battles, during battles, we still have Allah waiting for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our dua. Even during battles, during wars, and shortly before even the wars start, in the safi fi sabilillah, when the lines are established, kuffar are established, the Muslims, people of Iman, they are also established for a battle. We are encouraged to make dua. That occurs as hadith 661. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن أبي حازم عن سعد بن سعد قال ساعتان لهما ساعتان تفتح لهما أبواب السماء، ساعتان تفتح لهما أبواب السماء، وقل داع ترد عليه دعوته حين يحضر النداء والصف في سبيل الله. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا إسماعيل. إسماعيل in this hadith, in this isnad here, we all know him, that is إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس. إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس was from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and his mother was the sister of Al-Imam Malik. Malik ibn Anas, the Imam of the well-known Madhab. His sister is the mother of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. So Malik is the maternal uncle for Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, rahimahumullah. Fortunately, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, he is reporting this hadith from Imam Malik. So he said, Haddathani Malik. Malik ibn Anas reported that hadith to me on Abi Hazim, on the authority of Abu Hazim, one of the well-known ardent people of knowledge and ardent people of ibadah amongst the scholars of Medina, Abu Hazim. Salamat ibn Dinar. He was well known for ibadah amongst the scholars of Medina, from the teachers of Al-Imam Malik. Abu Hazim was well known. Salamat ibn Dinar. Rahimahullah. He reports this hadith from Sahal ibn Sa'ad. That is Sahalun ibn Sa'adin. As-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhuma. Sahlun ibn Sa'ad, his own father, Sa'adun ibn Sa'ad, the father of Sahlun ibn Sa'ad. Look at his name. Sahlun is ibn Sa'ad, success. Is the son of success, radiyallahu anhuma. Both Sahlun ibn Sa'ad and his father, Sa'ad ibn Sa'ad. His father's name is the same as the name of his grandfather, as Al-Imam al-Dhahabi mentions in Asiyar wa Alam al-Nubala. Sahlun ibn Sa'ad, his father was Sa'ad ibn Sa'ad. So both Sa'ad ibn Sa'ad, the father of Sahal, and Sahal, we are both companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his father, Sa'ad ibn Sa'ad, had died during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father of Sahal, Sa'ad, he had passed away during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhuma. So when we say Sahlun ibn Sa'adin, we are referring to father and son who were both amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahal ibn Sa'ad also has something the scholars mention regarding him, radiyallahu anhu. Huwa akhiru man mata bil madinati min ashabi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahlun ibn Sa'adin was the last companion who passed away in Medina, amongst the companions who were in Medina and who passed away in Medina. The last of them to pass away was Sahlun ibn Sa'ad. He was the last companion who passed away in Al-Madina. Wa kana mu'ammaran. Allah gave him long life. He was about 100 or a little above that when he passed away. Radiallahu anhu. And Sa'al was very, very, very rich. He had a lot of children. One of them was one of those who usually transmit hadith from him, Abbas. So he was Abu al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu, Sahal ibn Sa'ad. Sahal ibn Sa'ad was rich. Sahal ibn Sa'ad lived a long life. Sahal ibn Sa'ad was very knowledgeable, radiallahu anhu. And he was amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahlun. I wish that a brother give birth to a child and names him Sahal. This dunya was a place of goodness for Sahal. He was knowledgeable. He was rich. He was a companion. Is there any other thing? Knowledge, richness, and being a companion of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he lived long, 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 long life. Is there any other thing about success in this dunya? And for the fact that he was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a high level guarantee from Allah, because Allah told us in many places in the Quran about the companions that radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Wa a'adda lahum jannatun. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah has prepared jannatin for them, al-jannah. So that is also showing success in the hereafter. May Allah make us also from people who succeed in this dunya and succeed in akhirah. Ameen. Sahal ibn Sa'd, this hadith here occurs as from his own statements. Mawkufan an aw alay. Lakin the scholars say, lahu hukmul marfu wa qad sahha marfu'an. It has a ruling as if he said, qala Rasulullah. You know, when people become old, they report narrations. They report it repeatedly. Sometimes they don't find it convenient every moment to say, Qala Rasulullah, Qala Rasulullah. They say it as if they are advising the people. But it is also authentically reported as a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if we don't find that one, the scholars say this one, لَهُ حُكْمُ الْمَرْفُوعِ لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِمَّا يُقَالُ بِالرَّأِيِ. It has the ruling of a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is not from those things that anybody can just say from personal opinion. So when a companion says something that someone cannot say from personal opinion, the question is, where did he hear it from? So he did not hear it from anyone except from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it says that sa'atani tuftahu lahuma abwaabu samaa wa qalla da'in turaddu alayhi da'watuhu. Sa'atan, two periods. There are two periods. What happens on those two periods? Tuftahu lahuma abwaabu samaa. The gates of the heavens become opened. The passageways of the heavens become open. So this is evidence that the heavens as samau, they have passageways. The heavens have passageways. If we remember in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah also told us about abwaab as-samaa, the passageways of the heavens. He said, "Inna alladhina kadhabu bi ayatina واستكبروا عنها لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء. إن الذين كذبوا بآياتنا, those who belie our signs in the Quran, in the Sharia, our signs in the universe, because the ayat of Allah are two, ayatullahi al-kawniya and ayatullahi al-shar'iya, the signs of Allah, like the Quran and the legislations of Allah, they are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other kind are those ones that are in the universe, creation. They are signs of Allah. These people disbelieve in these signs. For these kinds of people, wastakbaru anha, they are also arrogant towards the legislations of Allah. Allah said, la tufattahu lahum abwaabu sama. The gates, the passageways of the heavens will not be opened for these kinds of people. So the passageways, the heavens have passageways, and they become opened or closed. The heavens have passageways. These passageways, they become either opened or closed. So here, Sahal ibn Sa'd tells us about the passageways of the heavens. He said, radiyallahu anhuma sa'atani tuftahu lahuma abwaabu sama. There are two periods, tuftahu lahuma. On those two periods, the gates of the heavens become opened. May Allah guide us. He said, وَقَلَّ دَاعٍ تُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ دَعْوَتُهُ. And very few would دَاعٍ تُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ دَعْوَتُهُ. Very few would it be on those occasions when an individual making dua would have his dua rejected. Very, very, it is scarce that someone would have dua on those two occasions and that dua will be rejected. It is rare. Those two periods, the gates of the heavens are opened, and it is rare that someone would have dua and that dua would then now be rejected. May Allah protect us. The first of them is Hina Yahdur Nida. That is Al Adhan. The first of them is when the Adhan is being called. Ikhwa, when they call the Adhan, make dua. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qalla da'in turaddu alayhi da'watuhu. It is very few among those who make dua that whose dua will be rejected in that kind of a time. What are those things that can make a dua be rejected? We have been learning them. Number one is making dua for sin. Number two is making a dua and being hasty. Number three is losing attention, not being attentive, as if one is hallucinating. He's making dua and his attention is completely absent from what he is doing. The fourth one is, you have something you do that prevents your dua from being answered. Like when you are an oppressor, you oppress people, and those people make dua against you. This one will affect your own dua a great deal. So these four things affect the potency of your dua. If not for these kinds of things, if you make dua during the time of Adhan for Salat, or when, like it said in this hadith, was safu fi sabilillah, and that's our point of reference. The first one, hina yahduru nida. The second one was safu fi sabilillah, when the armies of Islam have lined up fi sabilillah in a jihad validly against the people of kufr. In that circumstance, if you make dua, Allah accepts it. So 2 periods, ساعتان, تفتح لهما أبواب السماء. On those 2 occasions, the gates of the heavens are opened. وقل داع ترد عليه دعوته. And it is few from any person making dua whose dua would now be rejected on either of those 2 occasions. The first occasion is حين يحضر النداء, at the time when the nida is being established, that is adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ikhwa, make dua. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu, as you answer the muadhin, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also commanded us that idha adhan al muadhinu فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُهُ الْمُؤَذِّنُ. Say the like of what the Mu'adhin says. But if he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what do you say? You say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you can quickly chip in your dua. Chip in your dua in between. Allah help me. Allah guide me. Allah bless me. Allah protect me. Allah bless my wife. Allah bless my husband. Allah bless my children. In between, chip it in. Don't punish me in the grave. Protect me. Make things easy for me. As the nida is going on. Because at that time, tuftahu lahuma abwaab as-sama, the gates of the heavens, the passageways of the heavens are opened. That shows that Allah is merciful with us. His mercy is increased at that time. There are more chances that we are heard, we have compassion. All of these have increased within those periods. The second one is wasafu fi sabilillah, when the battles and the army are arranged in the rows, waiting to start a battle fi sabilillah, a jihad fi sabilillah, validly established by the head of the people of Islam against the people of Kufr. The jihad wants to start then. Dua can be answered. At that time, we also beg Allah. Allah help me. Many companions begged Allah to gain martyrdom, and Allah granted them. So we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within these periods. Why? Tuftahu lahuma abwaabus sama. During these 2 periods, the gates of the heavens are opened. وَقَلَّ دَاعٍ تُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ دَعْوَتُهُ. And it is few and scarce from those who would make dua at those times, and the dua will not be answered. When I read this hadith yesterday in the evening, something occurred to me. And that is the fact that there are other circumstances that the Prophet mentioned. We only have 2 in this hadith. There are other circumstances the Prophet told us that tuftahu lana abwaab as-sama, the gates, the passageways of the heavens will be opened. The first of them is fi al-thuluth al-akhir min al-layl, the last third part of the night. Ikhwa, let us make good use of this last third of the night. The last third part of the night, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah yaftahu abwaab as-sama'i thuluth al-layl al-baqi. Inna Allah yaftahu abwaab as-sama'i thuluth al-layl al-baqi. Allah opens up abwaab as-sama', the passageways of the heavens. We have mentioned that the heavens have passageways. They become opened in the last third part of the night every day. Brothers, let us seize the opportunity during the last third part of the night for dua. May Allah accept our dua. The second time we should pay attention to is also a time people are busy. That is qabla al-zuhur ba'da al-zawal, قبل الظهر، before صلاة الظهر، بعد الزوال، after the sun had gone away from the horizon. You know when the sun had gone away from the horizon? It's also already the time of Zuhur, but we have not prayed Zuhur. In this time, Ikhwa, make dua. Make dua, make dua. Abdullah ibn Sa'ib, radiallahu anhumah, he said that Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli qabla al-zuhur ba'da al-sawali arba'an. Yusalli qabla al-zuhur ba'da al-sawali arba'an. After it is time for Zuhur, when your alarms would have sounded for Zuhur, I think I can use it like that. And that is Ba'd al-Zawal. After the sun has left the horizon, it is moving. The sun emerges from the western, from the eastern horizon, coming to set on the western horizon. When it gets to the top, up our heads, and it descends, they say that is Ba'd al-Zawal. That is the time for Salatul Dhuhr. That is the time our phones, if you have prayer alarms for Salat, that is the time that it will ring. Between that time and the time that you actually perform Salatul Dhuhr, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, يصلي قبل الظهر أربعا. Before صلاة الظهر, he quickly read, observes four rakats, ويقول. And then he will say, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إن أبواب السماء تفتح. The heavens, the passage ways are opened. فأحب أن أقدم فيها عملا صالحا. So I like to quickly push forward, uqaddima fiha. I like to push forward good deeds, because good deeds, they ascend into the heavens through those passageways. Allah told us about that in the Quran. إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. Good deeds ascend into the heavens. Good deeds. Allah makes them come up. To the heavens. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gates of the heavens become opened at that time. فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ أُقَدِّمَ فِيهَا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. So I quickly want to push in into those passageways some good deeds. Some scholars call these four rak'ats sunnat al-zawal. Like Al-Hafiz Al-Iraqi radiallahu rahimahullah, he calls it Sunnah al-Zawal. Four quick rak'ats you make immediately the sun goes away from the horizon before you observe Salat al-Zuhr. This is different from the four rak'ats of Rawatib we observe before Zuhr and four rak'ats after Zuhr. No, this is different. Meaning that between Zawal and Zuhur, we can have eight rak'ats. Ikhwa, this is possible. But what will prevent many of us are our phones. Instead of making these four rak'ats within 10 to 15 minutes, many of us will be pressing our phones or get involved in discussions that do not concern us or browse on the Facebook. Instead of behaving like the Prophet, pushing forward good deeds at a time that the sky and the passageways to the heavens become opened. May Allah accept our dua. The first one we mentioned was Sulusul Akhir, the last third part of the night. Another time we mentioned when clearly it is said that the gates of the heavens become opened. Is Qabla Zuhur Ba'da Zawal. Before Zuhur, after the sun goes away from the horizon. The third time I like to mention was Ayyamul Khamis Wal Ithnain, or Ayyamul Ithnain Wal Khamis, on Mondays and past days. Note it. The gates of the heavens become and the passageways of the heavens become opened on those days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that tuftahu abwaabu samai kulla yawm ithnain wa khamis. The gates, the passageways of the heavens, tuftahu abwaab as-samai kulla yawm ithnain wa khamis. The gates of the heavens are opened on Mondays and Thursdays. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَيُغْفَرُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So on Mondays and Thursdays, Allah will forgive every servant. This servant, لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا, is not upon any kind of shirk on that Monday, on Thursday, no shirk on him. Allah will forgive him. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I like to read this hadith to the end because of its importance. He said, إِلَّا مْرَأَنْ كَانَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَاءُ, except an individual, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَاءُ, between him and his brother, there is ill feelings, there is trouble, there's mutual problems, mutual hatred on Monday and Thursday. These are the people regarding whom it will be said, أَنْذِرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا أَمْهِلُوا. Don't forget, don't forgive those people. Wait. Delay the forgiveness for these two people. حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا, until they agree upon something. If you have a problem with a brother on a Monday or Thursday, everybody gets forgiveness except you. Oh woman, your co-wife, you are fighting or quarreling and troubling yourselves. Make sure that before the next Monday and before the next Thursday, make sure that you resolve it. Why? يُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Because on Monday and Thursdays, Allah will forgive every servant who is not upon shirk, except you and that your co-wife, that the two of you are fighting, or two brothers fighting, two siblings quarreling. These ones are very common. Siblings quarrel a lot. May Allah protect us. Ikhwa, settle those quarrels. Neighbors quarrel. Yes, there are situations where people become abandoned. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abandoned, that is called hajrul muslim, setting him aside because of an act of sin and indecency. These words are there and they have their own rulings. And we have talked about them. That if those things, the disagreement between the two of you is regarding your person, you can set him aside for 3 days. For 3 days, you can celebrate your anger for 3 days. It is lawful. So if within those 3 days it falls on a Monday, on Thursday, there's no problem. But if it has to do with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as that person being well known to spread evil amongst the people, they can be abandoned for as long as we see that it will help us to curb the evil that they have spread. And it will help them to change. If the situation will not change, they can be abandoned for as much as possible. But just the issue, quick disagreements that happen amongst people, go and resolve it before Monday and Thursday. Because Allah forgives people on Mondays and Thursdays, and He opens up the gates, the passageways of the heavens on Mondays and Thursdays. This is the third one. The first one is thulusul akhir min al-layl. The second one is what? Qabla zuhur ba'da zawal. The third one is what? Ayyamul ithnain wal khamis. The fourth one is what? Ayyamul jum'ah. The fourth one, that is ده فتوى عن ساعة دوري رمضان، بيكيت نمبر فور دخول رمضان، بيك ذات از ذا فورث وان، دخول رمضان. وين رمضان كومس؟ إذا دخل شهر رمضان فتحت أبواب السماء. When the month of Ramadan come, the gates of the heavens are opened at the beginning of Ramadan, but that one lasts for a whole month. And the Mondays and the Thursdays too, they are there in Ramadan. The last third part of the night too, they are there in Ramadan. So these are from the things that makes dua in Ramadan very efficacious. You can get it on a Monday. You can get it on a Thursday. You can get it in the last third part of the night. You can get it between when the sun descends from the horizon and the time when you observe Salatul Zuhur. These are periods when clearly we have clear-cut texts in the Quran that the gates of the heavens become opened. There's also a time I like to mention that gates of the heavens also become opened lidawatil mazlum, the supplication of a person who was cheated, who was deceived. If you deceive somebody and that person prays against you, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that dua of that person, yarfa'uha Allahu dun al-ghamam yawm al-qiyamah, Allah will raise that supplication of the oppressed. Allah will raise it. Dun al-ghamam, it will be under the clouds. Wa tuftahu laha abwaabu sama, and subsequently the passageways of the heavens will be opened for it. Wa yaqul, Allah would say, bi'izzati aw bi'izzi لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ, by my power and my authority, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ, I will certainly grant you help and support, وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ, even if it may take some time. So even if it may take some time, I will grant you support. So this is what happens to the dua of a person who is oppressed. So we just felt we should mention these other times when there are clear-cut mentioning of the heavens being opened. There's also another time, I think that may take us a sixth or a seventh, and that occurs in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. It's very important too, let me mention it. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, radiyallahu anhuma, sallayna ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam salat al-maghribi aw ghayraha. One day we observe salat al-maghrib or another salat. I think maghrib or another salat. Fajalasa qawmun ana fihim. So some of us sat down in the masjid and I was part of them. Yantaziruna salat al-ukhra. We were waiting for the next salah. So if it was Salatul Maghrib, like he said, they were in the masjid after Salatul Maghrib and they were waiting for Salatul Isha. Maybe that was why many of us, our parents, whenever they go to the masjid for Salatul Maghrib, they don't come out of the masjid. They wait in the masjid till Salatul Isha. In our own times, we hardly even sit down. As-salamu alaykum is out. May Allah protect us. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, Sallayna ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam salat al-maghrib aw ghayraha. We observe salat al-maghrib or another salat with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Fajalasa qawmun ana fihim yantaziruna salat al-ukhra. So some people sat down in the masjid. I was part of them. We were waiting for the next salah. فَأَقْبَلَ إِلَيْنَا يُسْرِعُ الْمَشْيَ. So the Prophet came to us. يُسْرِعُ الْمَشْيَ. He was hasty, walking very fast. He made his paces very fast. كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ رَفْعِهِ إِذَارَهُ. In fact, I can see now that I'm speaking, how he raised his lower garments. He raised his lower garments. ليكون أحث له في المشي. So that it will be easier for him and to walk. He raised his lower garments so that he can walk faster. فانتهى إلينا فقال. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to us and said, Abshiru. I give you glad tidings. I bring good information to you. Congratulations. هذا كربكم أمر بباب السماء الوسطى. Ha, your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. أمر بباب السماء الوسطى. He has ordered that the passage, the mid passageway of the heavens, order, he said, بباب السماء, the passageway of the heaven. فتحت. It has been, has been opened. باب السماء ففتح. That door was open. ففاخر بكم الملائكة. And Allah mentions you. Allah extols you. Allah praises you to the angels, saying that Unzuru. Allah is saying to the angels, look at ila ibadi, my servants, addaw haqqan min haqqi, they have fulfilled a right from the rights that they owe me. Thumma hum yantaziruna ada'a haqqin akhar yu'addunahu. Then they are waiting again for another right they owe me, they will pay again. They just fulfilled one right of one salat. They are waiting for the next salat. Ikhwa, we always have this opportunity between Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. That hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. We always have that opportunity between Maghrib and Isha. Spend the time in the masjid. Sometimes many of us, Maghrib to Isha, we are just gisting. You say you hang out, you hang up, you hang down, sit down in the masjid. The gates of the heavens will be opened. And of course, your dua will be answered. Many times when we go for Umrah or Hajj, that opportunity also comes a lot to remain inside the masjid between Maghrib and Isha, or remain in the masjid between Dhuhr and Asr. You ask, what will I gain if I do so? You gain these rewards. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abshiru. هَذَاكَ رَبُّكُمْ أَمَرَ بِبَابِ السَّمَاءِ الْوُسْطَى. I congratulate you. This is your Lord. He has commanded that the passageway, the mid passageway of the heavens, I'll call بِبَابِ السَّمَاءِ, the passageway of the heavens, have been ordered for فُتِحَ, and it has been commanded to be opened. فَفَاخَرَ بِكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Just like on the day of Arafah, Allah mentions us and praises us before the angels. The same way, فَاخَرَ بِكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, he praises us, he pours us encomium before the angels. He tells them, أُنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ عِبَادِي, see my servants, أَدَّوْ حَقًّا مِنْ حَقِّي, they have fulfilled one of my rights. They just observe Salatul Maghrib. They just observe Salatul Zuhur. ثم هم ينتظرون أداء حق آخر يؤدونه. And then after that, ينتظرون, they are waiting. What are they waiting for? ينتظرون أداء حق آخر يؤدونه. They are waiting for another right they would fulfill. They fulfilled Zuhur, they are waiting for Asr. They fulfilled Maghrib, they are waiting for Isha. If waiting between Dhuhr and Asr is difficult, and it may not be difficult for many of us, between Dhuhr and Asr, how about between Maghrib and Isha? So these are other circumstances and periods where clearly we find in books of hadith that Allah opens the gates of the heavens and the earth. The first one we mention is Thulusul Akhir min al-Layl, the last third part of the night. The second is Qabla al-Dhuhur ba'da al-Zawal, after the sun goes away from the horizon. before Dhuhr. The third one we mentioned is on the days of Mondays and Thursdays. The fourth one we mentioned was on the days, the beginning of Ramadan. We also mentioned Da'wah to the Mazloom, when someone who is oppressed makes dua, Allah opens the passageway of the heavens for that supplication to ascend. We also mentioned waiting in between salat. You observe salat to Maghrib, Allah opens the passageways and mentions of you in goodness to his angels. But the hadith for our day is the hadith of Sa'd ibn Sa'd As-Sa'id. I think that that hadith was also clearly explained. May Allah accept our dua. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. May Allah protect us. Make us better Muslims. Whenever he will take our life, may Allah make it be upon Iman. May Allah make it that we meet him while he is pleased with us. Yesterday, I heard about the passing away of one of our brothers. Two things were said about him. The first one is that he regularly goes for cleaning the masajid and grave sites, burial grounds, cleaning mosques, taking care of and maintaining burial grounds. He's always there. May Allah forgive this brother. May Allah take care of his family. May Allah protect them. May Allah protect his wife and children and not bring them into fitna after him. May Allah make the grave a place of ease for him and not place make it a place of difficulty. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Ya hayu ya qayyum. I think we can call it a day. I'll wait for a few questions from Abu Amir. Abu Amir, you have one or two questions you'd like to ask?
نعم شيخنا أحسن الله إليكم جزاكم الله خير.
آمين آمين.
The first one reads, can we make dua when we hear adhan even when we are not in where the adhan was made?
Even when we are not where? In the masjid?
Even when we are not in the masjid or near the masjid, the adhan was made.
Yes. As long as you hear the adhan, not the recorded adhans of radio or TV or our various phones. No. The adhan that a human being makes, because that one is the ibadah. The one that is ibadah is the one that a person, human being makes. Phones don't make ibadah. Your phone cannot make ibadah. Mr. Grok cannot make ibadah. Mr. Artificial Intelligence cannot make ibadah. They don't have a soul. They don't have a record. So if they are reading Quran, you are just hearing. Your hearing can be ibadah. But their own reading is not ibadah. So, if a device is played for you to hear the adhan, you don't have a duty to have to respond to that one. But because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ, we cannot call your phone mu'azzin. Your phone, we can't call it mu'azzin, except maybe the masjid is being transmitted live. On your phone, you can hear it live. It is a human being calling the adhan. But a recorded phone or alarms, they are not counted as adhans. Allahu alam. More so that they will not be made at the time of the salah. They are just recorded. It is not as if they are making it now and you are hearing it. So if adhans come like this, and you are not in that masjid, but you have a way of hearing that the muadhin is calling the adhan, and you answer the muadhin, it falls under this category. Because he said, إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُهُ الْمُؤَذِّنُ. So let it be that it is one muadhin that's making the adhan. But you have a way of hearing what that muazzin is saying. And he's making that adhan at the time of salat. So say what the muazzin is saying. It also means that it falls under this category. In between the call, fixing your dua, fixing your request, fixing your need for Allah. And Allah will answer them out of His mercy. I hope that this is clear, Abu Amir.
نعم شيخنا جزاكم الله خيرا
آمين وإياكم.
نعم. Another question reads: Please, from what time is the last third of the night?
The way to calculate the night is from Salatul Maghrib, because the night starts from Salatul Maghrib. So if by Maghrib, the end time is Fajr, the time when Fajr emerges. So if by Maghrib, let's say that is 7 p.m., for example, and your Fajr is 5 p.m., in between 7 p.m. and 5 p.m., calculate the time and divide the hours into three. The last third of it is the last third part of the night. Is this clear? That is how to determine the last third part of the night. Take it, for example, that your own Maghrib is 7 p.m. So that is the beginning point. The last point is 5 a.m. If that is the time, for example, for Salatul Fajr. So 7 to 5 p.m. You look at the hours in between and you divide it into three. The last third of it is the last third part of the night. Is this clear? Being in love.
Jazakallah khair.
Amir, there's a question regarding adhan. No. If the adhan is called at the same time from various masajid, what do we do? I think, yes, reply to all of them, especially if you live in the north or in some southwestern communities like Ede. In Ede, it is very common. In Ede, it is very common. You hear adhan from many communities, from many places. My father used to tell me that it has been like that since early 50s. You hear adhan from different locations in Ede. It's a big virtue. I am mentioning Ede because that is the one that I know. It can be in other places too. So in Kaduna, it was there. When I was in Kaduna, I stayed in Kaduna for 12 years. When you wake up in the morning, you are hearing adhan from different angles. So be answering them. When you hear, as long as you are hearing the adhan and the muadhin, you'll be answering. So you have a lot of opportunity to answer the muadhin and then to chip in your dua in between those adhans. I hope that that's clear to you.
I'm sure. Jazakallah.
I will want to say Jazakallah khair.
Another question. Of the times that prayers are answered, is rainfall part of it when it is raining?
There's a hadith about the dua being answered during the rains. What I remember now is that that hadith is weak. If I find something else regarding it, I will tell us, inshallah. But what is in my mind now is that that hadith is not authentic. If I find something else, I will tell us. You can also ask somebody else about it. But what is in my mind now about that hadith is that it is not authentic. Allahu a'lam.
Another one is, please, does the opening of doors to the heavens imply dua is easily accepted, or is it just for good deeds being raised?
opening of the doors, the gateways of the heavens. It's not just about our good deeds being raised. It's also for barakat to come down to us. The early Muslims, they say that a lot, because Allah said, "Wa fis sama'i rizqukum wa ma tu'adun." Your rizq, Allah sends it down. When the gateways of the heavens are opened, Allah sends down barakat to you. So in addition to the fact that Allah also mentions you to the malaika, "See my slaves, see my slaves." And you will not find it that Allah is pleased with you mentioning you to the malaika, and you are making the dua, then you think that there's a problem with that dua. No, unless that dua itself, you have done it wrongly. Otherwise, it is easily understood that it would imply, it will include it. Your Lord is directing the angel's attention towards you, saying, "Look at my servants. Your good deed, your dua, is being ascended into the heavens. Allah is pleased with you. The angels are invited to see you. And then your arzak are coming down." If you ask about dua, the dua itself is part of those good deeds that is going up into the heavens. Allah told us about that in the Quran. Yas'ad al-kalimu tayyib. Al-kalimu tayyib, from that, some scholars say it is la ilaha illallah. Some scholars say it is dua. Wal-amalu salihu yarfa'u. The dua will come in both cases. Al-kalimu tayyib and what? Al-amalu salih. It says yarfa'u. Allah himself will raise al-amalu salih to the heavens. So it is your good deeds, from that is your dua, we go into the heavens. Your barakat will descend on you. The angels are pleased with you. Allah is also happy with you. So do good deeds. Make dua. Make nawafil. Make dua. Make nawafil. Let it be that that time you are also part of those that are praised to the angels. And from the good deeds, of course, is dua. It goes into the heavens. Your dua is accepted. So the dua is also accepted at that time. Allah accept our dua.
Amen. Jazakallah khair.
Amen. Amen.
Now, another one is, how can the person...
Can we make that the last question about Amir?
No, I'm sorry. Jazakallah khair.
Amen. One, two.
How can the person making the dua, himself benefit from making dua, the adhan, sorry, himself benefit from making the dua while he is calling the adhan? Or does he have to make his own dua after he has finished calling the adhan?
The muadhin is a special person before Allah. The muadhin is a special person before Allah. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Iza adhana al-muadhinu faqulu mithla ma yaquluhu al-muadhin." We all will be saying the like of what the muadhin is saying. And he told us at the end of that hadith, from the rewards of saying that, he told us after that, when the muadhin finishes, we should say salatu ala nabi, and then we should make dua that Allah will accept that dua. In all of this, he did not mention the muadhin, because his own status is bigger than all of these that you are saying. The muadhins are very big people before Allah. In fact, it was when one of the companions was hearing what the Prophet was saying in terms of goodness regarding the muadhin. He was saying, "How about we? If the muadhin has all these, how about we?" And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Say the like of what he said. You get the like of his rewards." So the first thing I like to bring from that is that the muadhin does not say after the adhan that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, no. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tama, no. The muadhin, keep it in your mind. Don't say salatu ala nabi, it's not for you. Don't say Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'awati tama. It's not for you. It's not for the muadhin. It is for those listening to you. Your own is to call the adhan and keep quiet. So now when you finish the adhan, then you have opportunity. Everybody has opportunity. But when you finish the adhan, the muadhin is not told to say Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'awati tama. The entirety of that was directed to those of us who listen to the muadhin and answer the muadhin. So it is not for the muadhin to say salat ala nabi. It is not for the muadhin to begin to also recite Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati tama. But don't forget, between the adhan and iqama, the muadhin shares from that too. So after his adhan, he can sit down. Between adhan and iqama, he begins to make his own dua. That one is for everybody. But those du'as and adhkars that are connected to the adhan itself, they are not for the muadhin. The attention is for those of us who are listening to the muadhin. I hope that that is clear. Many times when we're younger than this, after adhan, we used to say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'awati tama, even in the microphone. It is not for us. It is not for the muadhin. It is for those who listen to the muadhin and say the like of what the muadhin says. The muadhin can benefit from dua after his adhan. He sits down between his adhan and iqama, and then he benefits from that period, because that one is for the generality of the people. I hope that it is clear about him.
Ma'am Shaykhana, Ahsan Allah Mirim, Assalamu Allah.
Amin wa hiyakum, Barakallahu Fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khair.